This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
This episode of The Secrets of Once Upon a Time is brought to you by Bluehost. It's now easier and cheaper than ever before to start your own blog or website. For just $6.95 per month, you get unlimited hosting, one-click installation of WordPress, a .com domain name, and much more. Go to sqpn.com/bluehost for more information. This show is also brought to you by the Amazon Store. Click on the link on our website before you shop at Amazon, and your purchase will help support our show. Hello and welcome back to another episode of The Secrets of Once Upon a Time, the show where we discuss today the episode about Dreamy, or Grumpy, towards the end of the episode. Joining me today are two of my co-hosts, David Handlos and Deborah Shaben. Good day.
Hello.
Hey, Father.
Good to have you on the show. I've got a feeling that this is going to be a short episode, but I've thought that before, and it never really turned out to be a short episode, because I was wondering what actually did happen. It was not a very complicated story. I didn't see too many details in the background, but we'll see. We'll see. Perhaps together we will unearth a few more diamonds in the story, or in the background of the story. Before we begin by a recap of what happened in this episode, let me get your first impressions. David, what did you think of this episode?
Well, I like this story because it kind of gave me a break from the overall arcing storyline, and I've always wanted to hear what was going on with Grumpy.
They teased it, didn't they? A couple of episodes ago, it was like there was a reason, there was a special someone in his life, and now we get to see that. That was a good payoff.
Mm-hmm. So it's nice to see one of the background characters really step up, and he did it. And this was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Deborah, what did you think of the episode?
I was a little bored. I can't say that. If I had to compare it to Skin Deep or one of the, I was like, oh, really? That's it? Okay. Mm-hmm. But I guess my other thing is when we talk about Dreamy and his decision, I kind of went, that's not realistic. But I guess, you know, everything has its purpose. So we'll talk about that later.
That's what I like about this show. We're all fans and everyone has an opinion. And it was very interesting to see online that the general audience had exactly the same kind of opposition in their evaluation of this episode as did both of you. One part of the audience thought it was a very, you know, kind of lackluster, slow, boring episode, and the other part of the audience thought it was great, it was amazing, and it was you know, they were crying while watching it.
Crying?
Okay. Yeah, because it was so beautiful, so emotional. It was just tearing up all that romance. I liked it.
I'm also a fan of the actress who played Nova. We can go into that later. So I just thought it was fun.
She did great, and I liked it. And I'm kind of with you, David. I like that we actually stepped away from the overall story, although not entirely, but that we see a kind of a minor character that I've always been curious about, and to get the explanation why he's grumpy. And I just like the way they spun the story. I thought there were some very nice elements in there. And also some more, let's say, with some deeper themes that are touched upon here that also, I think, have to do with the general story that the writers try to tell with this show. But we'll talk about that later on in our evaluation or our, let's say, our review of the episode. But let's first try to kind of retell what happened in this story.
These stories, the classics, it's a reason we all know them. They're a way for us to deal with our world. A world that doesn't always make sense. Believing in even the possibility of a happy ending is a very powerful thing.
Deborah, you found a recap online of at least the fairy tale part of the story.
Well, and that's where the episode begins, is we begin in the fairy tale world. We begin with seeing Fairy Nova, who's a new character, has begun her training under the watchful eye of the Blue Fairy. And while she was out collecting fairy dust, she actually accidentally dropped some. And then it lands, you'll see it land on a soon-to-be hatched egg of a dwarf, which is kind of weird. When the dwarf hatches, he has memories of seeing a beautiful fairy in his dreams. However, Bossy, the head dwarf of the Diamond Mines, tells him that the dwarves do not feel love or emotion, and he is here to work with his seven brethren in the mines. And then he meets his new family and becomes known as Dreamy. So then we kind of fast forward, I guess you could say, a year later. Dreamy's been, working for a year now. But it looks like he can't... while working in the mines, he meets Nova again. So a year later, meets Nova again and helps her retrieve fairy dust from a fiery end. And they both feel a connection to each other, and Nova asks him if he's ever seen fireflies. He tells her that dwarves don't really venture outside of the mines, not realizing she was asking to go with her. Later at the local pub, Dreamy meets a dejected and rejected Belle, who tells him that love must be grasped if the possibility of it exists. Dreamy seizes his chance upon hearing this and races to meet Nova to watch the fireflies together. And then Dreamy and Nova plan to run away together and see the world. However, when Dreamy tries to leave to meet Nova, he is met with resistance from Bossy and the Blue Fairy, who insist Nova must be allowed to seize her destiny without interference. He breaks up with Nova and leaves her devastated. Upon returning to the mine, Dreamy is enraged and smashes his axe while using it. Bossy gives him a new one, which reveals his new name. He is now known as Grumpy. Believe that's story.
That's exactly it. And meanwhile, in the real world, or at least in our world, you've got Storybrooke and the nuns. This is the first time, I think, that we get to see the nuns that are apparently taking care of the school, I guess. They are trying to raise money to pay the rent to, of course, Mr. Gold, by selling candles. It's not been a big success in the previous years, and we see our fairy Nova now as one of the nuns, and she made a mistake. She's kind of a scatterbrain, and so she ordered plenty of this gas that they use to for the balloons,
helium
gas, way too much, and so she spent all the money on that. They're not able to pay the rent, and they're desperate. And then Leroy, who is Grumpy in Storybrooke, comes to the rescue. He is you could say enchanted by this nun, and promises her that he will sell all the candles and it won't be a problem. And together with Snow White or Mary Margaret, they go from door to door. First, they try to sell this on a fancy fair, but that doesn't work. And then they go door to door. Doesn't work either. One of the doors is opened by a strange guy with a carrot. And we'll talk about him later on. Very, very strange. But I might know who that is. And then he actually goes back to what's her name in real life? I think it's Astrid, right?
Yeah,
Sister Astrid. Right. And tells her, well, we sold all the candles. Basically, he tells her a lie because he doesn't want to disappoint her. And then he tells Mary Margaret, who's of course shocked by this promise that he will cough up the $5,000, that he will fix it. He will find a way because if you can dream it, it can be. You can do anything.
Yeah.
And then we see that he tries to sell his boat, and he wants to sell it to Mr. Gold. And Mr. Gold doesn't. And this surprised me, but he doesn't want to strike a deal. And he says that he just is basically waiting for a way to get rid of these nuns. And it's a long, complicated story. Of course, we know that the nuns in the fairy tale world were the fairies, and he killed a couple of them. So there must have been something in the past between the fairies and Mr. Gold, and we'll probably see that later on. And so he doesn't want to buy the boat, basically leaving Leroy with another failure. And he goes back to the bar, drinks some whatever, some booze with Mary Margaret, who's also kind of the... But both of them are now the two outcasts of the village, and everything seems lost. And that, of course, is when the salvation, the solution is near. They go to the fair, and Leroy climbs on the roof and destroys the power, whatever it is, generator on top of the roof, thereby also depriving the entire fancy fair from the lights. And then everybody starts to buy the candles. And Mary Margaret is super happy. Of course, Leroy is even happier. And it's kind of left open. He goes back to see Astrid, gives her the money, and then, you know, he's talking about his boat and he's going to fix it. And perhaps one day they might sail away. Mary Margaret walks away. She still feels rejected by the village. But then grandmother actually walks up to her. I still don't know what her name is in...
They just call her Granny, don't
Granny.
They?
That, yeah,
it's been
I think that's
Granny
it.
In both places so
Granny.
Far.
Yeah.
And she lights the candle of Mary Margaret and brings her back into the crowd on the fancy fair, but thereby kind of symbolizing that she now is kind of more or less, that she has redeemed herself a little bit. And then there is a secondary story, and that this has to do with the disappearance of
Catherine.
Of Catherine, David's wife. Nobody knows where she is, but apparently, according to the phone records that are recovered by Mr. Mirror, what's his name? Mr. Glass?
Sydney Glass.
Sydney Glass. He made a long phone call with his wife on the day that she disappeared, even though he told Emma that he didn't talk to her that day. And Emma is a bit confused. There's a brief moment, a brief conversation with Regina. I think this is one of the episodes where we see the least of Regina. And Mary Margaret is like, well, I think he was telling me the truth, but the phone records tell something else. And so at the end of the story, she takes away David in her police car, and everybody sees it, and he's brought to the police station to explain himself, or to at least, he has to kind of face the phone records. And that's the end of the episode. And we don't know what's going to happen next. I think that kind of covers it, doesn't it?
Yeah, I can't think of anything major left out of there. So
no, there was an interesting moment over the few details, but we can talk about that when we go over the details, mm-hmm. which we are about to do right now.
Glass.
Every story needs a memorable detail.
Okay, let's talk about the details in this episode. Let's start with the heaven scene, where we see the fairies somewhere in the clouds, and we don't know exactly where they are, but it really made me think of the prototypical, you know, angel depictions that we have, where angels are just flying around, they're eating whatever, porridge from golden plates, and we learn that there is actually kind of a hierarchy between the fairies, and that you have some novice fairies, and you've got some more experienced fairies, and one part of fairies are teaching the other part of the fairies. And I thought it was brilliant, and this is a detail that perhaps not everybody noticed, but for nuns, it's basically exactly the same. If you want to enter a convent or a monastery, you don't become a nun right away. There's actually a time that they call the novitiate.
Yeah.
So you're a novice basically for a couple of years. You already dress like a nun, but instead of having, for instance, a blue veil, you will carry a white one to kind of make the difference. And of course, you're not really, you haven't professed, you haven't made your vows yet. And so I thought it was brilliant to see that there was kind of this same, you've got like novice fairies and you've got the more experienced, the nuns, you know, mm-hmm. that run the whole thing. And I thought it was brilliant. We also get to see that the fairies have feet, legs, which I didn't notice before.
And because you don't see them with the blue fairy. Right?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if we saw that. I just saw them with the... Perhaps the legs disappear once you become a real fairy or a fairy godmother. I don't know. Perhaps they're magically erased. But and they've got, well, let's say, funny clothes. The Nova dress was kind of distractingly bizarre, I thought.
You know what? Now that you mention it, yeah, I was like looking at it a couple times because I've watched the episode a couple times, like just trying to figure out what kind of who designed that.
Yeah, it wasn't very elegant.
No.
And there was another thing that puzzled me. When we see the Nova entering the mine and meeting Dreamy for the first time, she's big. She's huge. And then later on, when we see the Blue Fairy, she's tiny. What's the deal with that? Do they just grow and shrink, or is it something that when they're flying, they become small? Did you all notice that?
Yeah, that was it's one of those I filed that in the back of my head for it's magic. I'll deal about it later.
Probably.
But it's like, okay, so maybe when they're flying, they get smaller, so they can, well, like, okay, well, now that I think about it, you know, the with Pinocchio, the fairy was this tiny little glow, and once in the movie, and once she actually arrived, she became a full-size human.
Good point. Yes.
She's, so maybe when they're in flight, they shrink for, you know.
Air resistance.
There you go. We can turn a puppet into a real boy, but we can't overcome air resistance.
Right. Now let's talk about the dwarves in the mine, and especially the way that they entered the world of the fairy tales. We see hundreds, if not thousands, of huge eggs, and it made me instantly think of the movie Aliens, you know, with the hatching section in this alien ship. And I was like, are there dragons in there? I just didn't really, at first, I didn't realize that this is the way that they grow dwarves. But does that have any kind of fairy tale background? Or I have never heard of this, dwarves coming out of eggs.
That was the most bizarre thing I think that was in the episode. I don't recall anything hatching out of eggs, you know, and especially not dwarves. So that's, I don't know. I might have to do a little more research on that.
No, but I think the reason that they are hatched from eggs is that there are no female dwarves. And still, you know, you have to explain that dwarves are coming into that world in a different way. So why not with an egg? And then, of course, the big question is, what's the source of the eggs?
Right, yeah. Right.
And I'm not sure I even want to know.
And what's more disturbing, I guess, to me, was the fact that they were fully formed dwarves, and I'm like,
yes.
Ew.
Even in, wasn't he also dressed? Did he have clothes? These are really magical eggs, but very funny. And another question, of course, since we see so many eggs, you got to wonder, what's going to happen to all the other eggs? We've only seen the seven dwarves that we know, but are we going to see a massive army of other dwarves? Or are there like tribes of dwarves, and we've just seen these seven, and we'll see other dwarves in the future? I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah, well, maybe it's just this mine, and they have these many eggs for that mine, and there are many, many mines, and that's what I thought.
Yeah, is
that
could be. What I liked is the fairy dust that ends up touching the egg of Dreamy. It also kind of gives him a special position with the other dwarves. He's definitely almost kind of a crossover between a dwarf, and he's got a little bit of a fairy in him too. His vocation seems to be to dream about the world beyond the mines, to bring light, light up the world. He's a very positive, very optimistic guy. And when we see his Storybrooke counterpart, Leroy, that's the first thing that he does. He brings light by fixing some kind of electricity problem that Sister Astrid has. And thereby he just, you know, he's able to light up the whole place. And I like that aspect of everyone when you're entering this world, you get a vocation almost. And most of the dwarves, their only reason to exist is to work in the mines, and that's what makes them happy. That's kind of what they do. And when they do that right, then you're a real dwarf. You found your kind of your fulfillment of your life, and that's where you should be, but not with Leroy or Dreamy. He's the prototypical kind of hero character that you have in many movies. He's kind of the Luke Skywalker of this story. He's different. He doesn't want to stay on, you know, in the mines. Just like Luke Skywalker didn't want to stay on Tatooine. He wanted to go out and have adventures. And the other dwarfs are kind of disturbed by this. It's you see this kind of tension where part of the dwarfs are kind of they are excited for him. And they are very kind of brotherly, encouraging him. And there's this one dwarf that doesn't like this at all. And he's like, no, you should just fit in. Just be a dwarf, you know? Just
is give that up, Bossy? Was Bossy telling him that?
Yeah, it could be.
Okay.
I think that was, well, Bossy. Yeah, Bossy was the one who was telling him that, you know, no, dwarves are down here. I just pretty much cut all of Dreamy's dreams down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's got to give up his dream. And becomes grumpy. And I think that I like the symbolism in there. I was like, there is something to say for following your vocation that is part of, you know, being a dwarf. that's what dwarves do. And you shouldn't step out of line. On the other hand, there's beauty in the dream as well. And you see this same tension with a lot of characters in this episode. It's for Mary Margaret, it's kind of the same. It's like, are you a nun or not? You know, are you this very nice but also extremely conventional teacher in a school, and your life has been always like this and everybody likes you, but there is really nothing sparkling in your life? Or are you this adventurous, you know, kind of, is there a little bit of Snow White in you as well? And once she's stepping out of line, it has dire consequences for her reputation, for other people around her. So it's this constant tension between, do you want to fit in? Then you got to give up your dreams. If you follow your dreams, you're going to be cast out. And yeah.
Well, it's interesting because I was having a conversation earlier this week with a friend of mine who was comparing, he was saying that Dreamy, out of all the male characters that are in Storybrooke, seems to be the most noble right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he said, well, you know, even like in, I guess, literature and movies, the town drunk, which is what Leroy was the most noble creature. And so I was like, well, give me some examples. And a lot of the examples I'm afraid I don't know very well. But one I came up with is like Rick from Casablanca, where he had to give up his true love for the greater good and to save their lives. And so it's a kind of a story prototype that's been repeated and repeated.
Yes. And there is this is the whole theme of sacrificing yourself for the ultimate benefit of the other, even though the other person doesn't realize it. But mm-hmm. Leroy or Dreamy knows, and he learns that if he leaves with Nova, she will lose her wings and she'll never be a fairy godmother. So in order for her to fulfill her vocation in life, he is willing to give up his.
Well, it's so funny because, and I'm sorry, Dave, to cut you off there, but what happened on the, you know, 45 minutes is not a long time to kind of convey this, but I thought mm-hmm. that Nova really didn't care. I thought Nova was like the one that was more in tune with this plan that her and Dreamy hatched up than Dreamy was. Nova was more on board, so I thought Nova was very willing to give up being a fairy godmother.
Perhaps, or perhaps she didn't really realize, perhaps love made her blind and she didn't realize what the impact would be. And Dreamy knew it and he wanted to protect her. Because I don't think that Nova ever learned that she would lose her wings and she would basically stop being. It's kind of like the story of Little Mermaid. You know, you want to become a human and you got to give up your flippers. You know, life is going to be hell because every step that you take is going to hurt.
And she did make that whole leap to, well, I'm going to completely change my life with this guy I just met now. So that was a little bit quick, but
yeah,
I was given it. I've seen stranger things happen so far with the Snow White mm-hmm. and Prince Charming so far. So
Well, I like the way that he handled the relationship in the real world in Storybrooke, where he is really taken in by the sister Astrid. And when he talks about it with Mary Margaret, she's like, could you have picked someone less available than a nun? And at first he's like, well, you know, who cares? Love is love. And towards the end, he's actually really, well, he leaves it open. I mean, it's not that he steps away like Dreamy slash Grumpy does in the fairy tale world, but he remains very respectful of her. And that was refreshing, especially because we've seen Mary Margaret taking making a few bad decisions, and it still haunts her, and you can tell that still her redemption. Well, it started a little bit this episode, but there is more has to come. Something needs to happen to resolve that situation.
And, you know, and that's one thing, because I had a problem with the Grumpy's decision. I really did, because I'm like, that's not realistic. But I realized that, you know, we had to do that to carry the story forward. Mm-hmm. But we still don't know how he ended up in jail or in prison.
Oh, interesting.
I was assuming public drunkenness, but you're right.
It could be. Yeah, he's just an outcast. So,
but I don't know. You know, I'd like to say, I'm sure that story is coming, is how he ended up in the dungeon when Mary or Snow White meets him for the first time.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about in Storybrooke when
because we, you know, this is pre magic potion for Snow White. Mm. She hasn't met the dwarves yet.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Good point. So we'll keep that. We'll remember that once the episode comes around. Hopefully, we'll see an explanation. Although, it could very well be that the writers are just carrying that over to the second season. Who knows?
Yeah.
Or perhaps we'll never learn. Let's go for some more details. Stardust, of course, is kind of what the helium is in Storybrooke. I like kind of like both make you fly.
Oh, that's true.
I love that. And another detail, and I wanted to ask you about that, Deborah, because you're such a Disney expert. At one point, when the dwarves are getting ready for work, they dress, and they all make these movements, you know, they shake their behinds, and I was like, is this a reference to the animated movie Snow White?
It could be. It very well could be. I'm trying to think of, it's been a year since I watched it. I'm like,
I'm almost certain that the movements that they make, they were so cartoonish. I was like, mm-hmm. They must be mimicking the dwarves in the Snow White movie.
Well, and they started whistling "Hi-Ho," which I'm like, could it be any more Disney?
And then, of course, we see all the names. I love the idea, by the way, of the names actually being revealed by the pickaxe. Almost like the sorting ceremony in Harry Potter. It's like the magical pickaxe will tell you who you are going to be for the rest of your life.
It never lies.
Yeah, it never lies. Just like the sorting hat. Never makes a mistake. And however, when people change, or when dwarves change, the name also changes.
Yeah.
And that's perhaps also why the axe broke, because that surprised me a little bit. It could be the violence, of course, of Grumpy, but it could also be because he had actually really changed, and so the axe no longer could function. When Leroy promises Sister Astrid that he will sell all those candles, he does that in the classroom, and the classroom is decorated with plenty of pictures from stars. And again, I'm thinking stars, stardust, kind of fits the theme. And also stars as symbols of light. And that's one of the core, you know, one of the main themes in this episode is, you know, your dreams can bring light into the world. There was also something in the background at one point, and I think it was just a joke where there is kind of a cutout cardboard thing where children can put their heads into holes, and then there are dwarves painted on the thing. I thought it was funny
because it was Miner's Day.
Oh, of course. So true. It was actually the mining dwarves from Snow White. It's kind of a Disney reference, a purposeful Disney reference within the...
There were a lot of purposeful. There's actually one that you probably didn't catch, but it's an actual Disney quote that they used twice.
Really? Okay.
If you can dream it, then you can do it is an actual Walt Disney World or a Walt Disney quote. And if you are a fan of Epcot back 10 years ago, yeah. Or maybe even 20, more than 20, there was a ride called Horizons at mm-hmm. Epcot. And the song in the background was just that. If you can dream it, then you can do it.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, mm-hmm. I love that. Because that was the main phrase that was used several times here. You can do anything you want if you can dream it. If you can dream mm-hmm. it, it can happen. And sometimes, you know, it won't last, but you can still dream. Great. Then we've got the Firefly scene. I like that as well, although... It's not very consequential. I love the kind of the naive behavior of Dreamy. It was like, oh, are those fireflies? No, stupid. Those are the lights in the village below. I mean, he's never left the mine. So he still is this very limited dwarf who has never seen anything of the world. And so it's kind of funny that in Storybrooke, this guy has a boat. And so he's very adventurous, and it's almost as if he has found this kind of stardust or this fairy dust within his soul that makes him aspire to the world beyond the mines. I just love the way that they did that here. And, well, let's go to the mysterious guy with the carrot. It's the first person that they try to sell the candles to. He doesn't say anything. He's just standing there. He's got this bow tie, and he's munching a carrot. And then there's this, let's say, this bigger lady is like, no, we don't need anything, and slams the door. Okay, well, let me ask you guys, theories on who this is?
I think the theory in the chat room and my theory would have been the March Hare and the Queen of Hearts.
Yeah. That's what I thought too.
And it's, you know, in a couple episodes, we will actually be going to Wonderland. So.
Oh, really?
Yes, yeah, we will. What,
that'd be my vote too, because yeah, I knew that Wonderland was coming up.
Well, and, you know, he's eating the carrot, so it has to be a rabbit. And then even the bow tie is a giveaway, I think. And the jacket too. They're too similar, I think, to be a coincidence. The only thing I was missing was a watch. That would have made it really, you know, just...
Oh, I'll have to go back and see if he has a watch.
No, I don't think there's a watch. I freeze framed. But then I was wondering, the lady, is that actually the Queen of Hearts? Because she has black hair, of course, in the Disney movie, at least. She does seem to be the same kind of bossy lady. But I was even thinking, because of the blonde hair, I was like, is this like a Storybrooke version of Alice? You know? Is this Alice after all her adventures or not? I don't know. I think it probably Queen of Hearts is more likely.
Yeah, and I can't think of any other female characters in Alice in Wonderland that I can, you know, pin her to.
Well, and her bossy behavior is kind of more similar to the behavior that you would see with the Queen of Hearts. But of course, if we ever get to see this, then who is going to be Alice? Is it going to be a new character? Do we already know Alice?
I don't know. I think we haven't met Alice yet.
Me neither. Yeah, I think it's going
to
be a new...
And when we get to the end, we'll talk about spoilers for that episode.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
And then we get to see Belle, which was great. I didn't expect that at all, but I love to see her back. And she's kind of disillusioned. But I thought it was beautiful, that little exchange with Dreamy. Where she still encourages him to go after, you know, his love and to follow his feelings and his intuition, because she has experienced that love won't always last forever. So, you know, if it's there, seize it, because it can be gone tomorrow. And it was good to see that she was still around. She didn't kill herself or something terrible like that. And of course it made me think of her Storybrooke counterpart. It's like she's still in that psych ward. We didn't get to see that, but so sad. I hope she gets out before the end of the season. So Mr. Gold doesn't like nuns.
Yeah. Right. Like, what's that about?
Yeah. But then I'm like, yeah, but it makes sense. I mean, if they were fairies in the previous world, then yeah, he seems to have a grudge against fairies. Don't know exactly why, but I'm feeling that there's a story that's going to be told later. I couldn't know. I've been racking my brain. Is there a fairy tale where we see like an evil guy fighting it out with fairies? But I can't remember it.
Well, and you know, there's a, you know, the whole Peter Pan, you know, Tinkerbell. Well, Tinkerbell, you know, in the Disney form has branched out into, you know, all these pixie stories.
Oh yeah, there aren't there like DVDs which have Tinkerbell as the main character, and then
yeah. And not only that, they're redoing Fantasyland in both Disneyland and Walt Disney World, and they're putting in like a Pixie Hollow where you can go meet Tinkerbell and the other pixies. And I'm like, there are other pixies? I guess I'm going to have to, you know. it's hard when you don't have children because you can't keep up on these new characters that are only, you know, available in, you know, children's storybooks. So, yeah, we'll see who the – maybe I'll do a little digging this week and find out who the other – pixie friends are.
Although that's kind of almost non-canonical, that stuff, so I wonder if they will integrate it. It's yeah. not I haven't seen those DVDs, and nor will I probably ever see them.
Same here.
But anyway, well, I'd be glad to see that story between Mr. Gold and the nuns, and I want to see a confrontation in Storybrooke as well. I want to see the nuns fighting Mr. Gold. that could be epic.
I wonder if it could be back to his constant point is that all magic has a consequence, all magic has a price, and the fairies never have, at least in the movies, and I don't think they've really advertised it as much here, that they don't really advertise that there is a consequence to everything.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of going against his message here, and we haven't seen all the backstories, but I know at least the blue fairy kind of steps on his toes a little bit already, because due to his actions, Geppetto's parents were turned into little blocks of wood, and he was cursed to be in a, you know, to a sad existence. And then the blue fairy changes that by giving him a child.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So wondering, I don't know, like you said, we'll have to see in the future, but maybe because they make deals that don't have the same consequences that his does.
Well, they basically help people for free. They're like angels almost, like or patron saints in a way. And so it messes up his economy. It hurts his economic
right.
You know, grip on the world.
Well, and you know, he specializes in desperate souls, whereas the fairies do not. They specialize in people who are more deserving, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
I also was wondering, I mean, this just kind of popped into my head now, but I'm wondering, you know, magic probably does all have a price for something, but his view of magic having a price is specifically slanted because his deal to get magic power really had a huge price, so he probably believes that everything has a price.
Well, and his theory, he kind of gets the better price out of all of it. He gets a little more than everybody else. He gets a bigger cut, if you would, of the profit. So it all benefits him.
Yeah. Right.
And we never saw how it ended, but we're assuming he really got the bad end of the deal when he decided to become the Dark One, so he doesn't want to ever get taken advantage of again.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Yeah, well, perhaps something happened between the fairies. Perhaps the fairies tried to help him, too. I don't know. And then he didn't want to, or he perceived that they were trying to take away his powers or something like that. Who knows?
Could be.
Well, and maybe when he got rid of Cinderella's fairy godmother, you know, poof, and she was gone, it caused some sort of rift there.
Well, or perhaps, I mean, the way that he killed that fairy godmother was already pretty shocking. I was like, why does he do that? So I'm thinking probably something happened even before that. Perhaps it has to do with his child. Perhaps the fairies took care of his boy and raised him in a different way or whatever. And I think there's a story there. But I can't wait to see what it is. Emma can tell when someone lies. And I thought it was interesting that even though it was a small reference, it was mentioned again.
You know, and the phone records kind of seem to indicate that she, her intuition didn't work anymore. It's almost, it was her superpower. That's what she said. By the way, now that I think of it, this is the first episode without the boy.
Oh, yeah. True. There's no Henry in that. And wow. This was an episode where there wasn't a lot of anybody else either, to be honest. Not a lot of Regina, not a lot of anybody, Leroy and Mary Margaret.
Sometimes in Lost, you would have episodes like these, and they were called filler episodes by some of the grumpy fans. But I like it. It's kind of gives a bit of texture to the overall season. You can't have all these. It's been a convention, I think, with a lot of these series, even with the X-Files. You would have the overall mythology, but every season would have a certain number of kind of standalone episodes, and you can't just slam everybody with this ongoing mythology, because you're running out of steam towards the end of the first season. And I hope that this show is going to be around for many seasons. So I don't complain about these filler episodes.
Could you guys back to the phone records for a second? Maybe I missed something, but okay, Sidney Glass is the one who dug up the phone records and pointed them out, right?
Yeah,
right.
And he can't be trusted.
Right, exactly. It's this is why some of my friends hate watching movies with me. I always ask these kind of questions. I'm like, wait a minute, okay, he's he's a disgraced reporter.
Yeah.
What's he doing looking around phone records randomly? Wouldn't a sheriff be kind of suspicious?
Oh, but you know, but Emma's fooled, because Emma thinks he's technically on her side.
Yes. Yeah. Right. She doesn't know that he's still in cahoots with Regina.
Right. Well, yeah, I know, but it's like, okay, so you just decided to start looking through phone records just randomly? So,
well, and he knows this guy, so you can tell that these might not be official phone records. They might have been completely made up. So,
true. Very true.
I guess we'll soon see that when David is brought to the sheriff's office, and he's probably going to deny this.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. But there's this recurring theme of telling the truth, knowing when someone lies. Actually, there is also the Leroy lying to Sister Astrid, and Astrid is actually, and she should be, as a Catholic nun, very lenient and forgiving. But and then we've got this the other person, August, that we didn't see in this episode, and there is an ongoing discussion on the web, and I think many fans are still thinking that he is Pinocchio. There are a few, actually, there's more and more proof that he might be. So I don't know. This might be something, the whole truth lies thing. The way that they mentioned it, it was almost to remind us that this is an important theme and it will be brought back later on. So I'm thinking it was on purpose that they kind of inserted that here. Okay, the whole thing of Nova losing her wings, we discussed that. It's almost like, for instance, the elves in the world of Tolkien losing their immortality if they marry a human. Or the story of Little Mermaid is kind of this similar. This is a recurring theme in mythology, but also in fairy tales, where if you want to really change your life profoundly and you want to become something or someone else, a human instead of a mermaid, then that's going to have a price. That magic is going to have a price, and it's a terrible price to pay, because you basically can never go back to your former life. And that is why I think Dreamy wants to protect Nova, because it's basically cutting all the bridges to her previous life, and he might not be sure that he is the right one for her, or that he's able to fulfill her, you know, and be her everything. I think he has doubts about his ability to do that as a dwarf. He has the aspiration, but everybody tells him that he won't be able to, and so he goes with that ultimately.
Yeah, I found it fascinating that, you know, he knows he's in love, but everybody's like, no, you can't feel love.
Yeah.
And it kind of irked me as somebody who studies psychology. I'm like, who are you to tell him what he can't feel?
Well, they're dwarfs, so what do they know? Mike in the chat room, by the way, has a very good point. If dwarfs have no emotions, why is one of them called happy?
Nice.
That is a very good point. we might see the backstory of Happy. He might also be, his egg might also have been enchanted. Who knows?
And since we're looking at the chat room, let's raise some more points that people are talking about. Why do women always need to be rescued in the story? Says Nani. Didn't like Astrid or Nova because of that. She just needed to fly up and get her own bag and not wait for Grumpy to rescue her. Yeah, but you know, in the fairy tale world, that's what happens. But we see in Storybrooke that it's basically the women who are ruling everything, and all the men are wimps. So I think it's on purpose.
Well, and not only that, it's, you know, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years of kind of this is the way it is. It's not until recently that, you know, women have decided to become their own heroes. So it's a very recent phenomenon, and not a lot of fairy tales. You know, let's see, I can almost count, like, Legend of Mulan, you know, when Disney redid that, that's where she was the heroine. The Princess and the Frog, that's where she saved the day. But other than that, I can't think of very many other, like, either Disney or other fairy tales where and the Little Mermaid. Mm-hmm. Well, no, Eric saves the day in that. Prince Eric kills Ursula. Never mind. but there are very few fairy tales or tales that have women taking care of business themselves. Enchanted. Mm-hmm. There we go. There's another one.
Yeah. Well, and then it's kind of a modern thing for fairy tales to do that. With the I still haven't seen that movie, but in the one Rapunzel, or what's the, it's called Tangled.
Twisted. Yeah.
Tangled.
I mean, that girl, at least what I've seen from the trailer, is very much in charge of everything. The prince is kind of another wimp.
He wasn't even a prince. He was,
just some dude.
He was we'll have to do that for Secrets of Disney soon.
Absolutely. Yeah. I got to have a reason to watch it. Fantastic. I also like the conversation again towards the end. And I think, was this between Mary Margaret and Leroy? I think so. About hope. And I think they're both drinking there at the bar. And then at one point, I think it's Leroy. Is it Leroy? And I'm getting confused. Isn't life holding on to your good memories? Who says that? Is it Leroy or is it Mary Margaret?
I think it's Leroy. Because Leroy is trying to convince Mary Margaret that, you know, even though the thing with David ended badly, you still had happy memories, didn't you?
Yeah. True. Yeah. I love that it was actually Leroy that tries to bring hope back to Mary Margaret. You know, at least you can hope that any dream is possible. And he tells Mary Margaret, you've lost hope. You feel sorry for yourself. And it's kind of the opposite of what they tell him or what Belle tells him in Fairy Tale World. And the reason that I love that he is telling Mary Margaret is that we've have this jingle in the show where in the pilot episode of the series, it's Mary Margaret that says, you know, fairy tales are so important because they give people hope and they make them dream and aspire to things. And now she herself has lost that dream. She's lost that hope. And so I love the way that this is becoming the big undercurrent storyline. And I'm pretty sure that her redemption in one way or another is her having hope again and kind of reconnecting with the magic of stories in some way or another. And I think that the reason that both her life and Leroy's life are failing is because of the spell. This is not a fairy tale. And so these dreams are constantly crushed. But Leroy seems to be able to, he's able to resist this. And he keeps dreaming, and he saves the day, you know, by finding this great way to sell the candles. So the fact that these candles are getting lit again, and I think there's even a reference that Regina is going to be mad as hell, or Mr. Gold, he's going to be mad because he is probably owning the electricity company, and so both Regina and Mr. Gold are opposed to, you know, this light. They don't want Storybrooke to change.
Occurred to me, just this thought, and somebody kind of echoed my thought a little bit in the chat room. But when everybody at the end of this series, when we're finally down to the finale of the series, and perhaps everybody gets to go back to fairy tale world in whatever shape form they are, are they going to forget about Storybrooke? Is that experience not going to be part of it's going to be like a dream and they go back to only happy endings?
Yeah.
And that reality of reality is forgotten. It seems
I hope not.
Unrealistic, you know?
I hope that there's some kind of a blend or some kind of like the two worlds merge or something.
Mm.
I mean, wouldn't it be amazing if somehow this would be a very commercial way to do this, but that somehow they dig up the fairy tale world and it it's basically going to be another opening of a Disney World in that part of the United States. I don't know. But I love the fact that there's a little bit of hope at the end of the episode of redemption for Mary Margaret. And even though she doesn't believe in it, because she still sees the writing on her car, someone else is starting to believe in her again, and it's Granny.
Mm-hmm.
And Granny is going to be one of the heroes of the next episode. Oh, I'm so looking forward to that. One more detail. As usual, lots of stuff. Well, not that much stuff, but there were a few things in the background that get fans all excited, and they kind of blow up the screen trying to decipher what's in the background. There was this blackboard in the school, and it had lists of all the volunteers, people that already volunteered for sure, and then there's a list of maybes. And I could only read the first list of names, and so you have Carol, Steve, Edith, Kaylin, and then the two last names are Mary and Bert. And according to some fans on the web, Mary and Bert are two main characters of the Mary Poppins story, which of course is also a Disney franchise. So could we see Mary Poppins?
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Wouldn't that be cool?
It's totally possible that we have... we definitely have Mary Poppins show up. That'd be awesome.
I think it would be fantastic. And Julie Andrews and Dick Van Dyke, they played those main characters. And it was Mary Poppins and Bert, or Mr. Yes. Dawes
right,
Sr.
Right. The chimney sweep / musician / chalk drawing / whatever. Yeah.
So this can't be a coincidence. Now, I don't know about the other names, cool. Like Carol. I was like, Carol? What's the idea there?
Well, it could be a reference to Lewis Carroll.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Oh,
yeah.
And the fact that we're going to be going down the rabbit hole in a couple episodes.
Mm. What about Steve? Is there any Disney hero called Steve? Or Edith?
No. Edith.
Mm. Let's just Google Edith Disney. Let's see what comes up with. That's usually how I try to find something. Oh, there is an Edith P. Disney. And she died in 2002.
Funny.
No, there is no there is no Edith in any of the stories. But oh well.
Oh, you know who we haven't seen come up, and this was several episodes that might be coming up. Maybe not this season, but maybe season two is. Remember, we had the Dalmatian. We had Pongo. And I'm still waiting for that the 101 Dalmatians to show up.
Yes, Cruella de Vil. Mm-hmm. What has he heard?
And the lady, I won't ever remember her name. And the lady dog, which is Purta. I remember the dog's name, don't remember the other character's name. But yeah, there's so many stories that are, you know, have been alluded to yet that they haven't seen them, these little stories yet come up.
I think there's so much they can do with this series. I mean, plenty of material for a second and a third season, at least. Perdita is the name, according to Mike, of this lady. But Cruella, she could actually be the new Regina. You know, if Regina ever gets killed, then Cruella could take over, because it's exactly the same type of lady.
Or maybe Regina is Cruella.
Oh, of course. They've done that before, where they merge certain characters. I mean, we've seen...
And so she could be
the Beast
Cruella
being...
DeVille, the devil. Mm-hmm. So
Regina DeVille, for instance.
Yeah. Have we heard Regina's last name?
No.
I can't remember.
No, I don't think
Regina King, I thought it was.
Okay.
Well, no, I'm thinking of somebody else completely. Sorry. Mm. maybe Regina Miller?
Oh. Yeah, I don't know.
Hang on.
I can't remember.
Since we're already speaking about names, there were a few names here that we might want to talk about.
Do you think we need code names?
Is it Cobra our code name?
That's the mission. I mean, us. I need something to call you.
Oh. Well, I don't... You can just call me Emma for now.
Okay, well then, I'll see you later, Emma.
Isn't that interesting, by the way? This is the first time that I noticed in this conversation. You can call me Emma for now. Oh, wait. Few names in this episode. Nova, of course, the fairy Nova. Nova in Latin means new. But, of course, also a reference to the stars. A supernova is when a star explodes and it can become the birth of a new star. So it's I like the name Nova. Like it's
hey,
something...
in Spanish, Nova means no go. Oh,
really? Nova, Nova, yeah.
I like the star better.
Yeah, me too. And she's definitely a new, new character, of course, but also a new something new happening in the life of Leroy, Dreamy. Leroy is, of course, from French, le roi, and it means the king. So it was interesting. So that despite the fact that he's kind of the outcast, the drunk of Storybrooke, Sister Astrid keeps calling him, "You're my hero." So basically, you're my king. You're my, you know, Leroy, le roi, hero. I don't know. Might be a play on words there. And then Sister Astrid, of course. Astrid is a Norse name, and the meaning is fair. Beautiful goddess. So there you have it. Fair, fairy, goddess. They are kind of like goddesses.
See, when I heard Astrid, I thought like an asteroid. So I'm like, oh, Nova and asteroids.
Well,
and
an aster.
Galaxy names.
Aster means star also in Latin. So, yeah. But yeah, I think Astrid, you know, fair and beautiful goddess. It might be both. But, and those were actually the only names that I've been able to notice. So I don't have anything else on this.
And our chat room has corrected us, and it is Regina Mills.
Regina Mills, okay.
That was close. That was close.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you, Google. Thank you, chat room. Chat room is our Google.
Yeah.
It's very luxurious. All right, now is the moment for our spoiler section. So if you don't like spoilers, just stop listening now. And I want to send you to our website, which is onceuponatime.sqpn.com, where you can listen to previous episodes. But you can also post comments, and we love comments. If you have any corrections or other things that we might have overlooked, let us know. We love to hear from you. And this is something we haven't really had time for because we're constantly trying to struggle to find a common time that we can all get together to record these episodes. But I would love to have some voicemail as well. And I've been trying to make that easier. If you go to the main website of the StarQuest Production Network, which you can find at sqpn.com, you can click, there is a tab on the right side of the screen now, and it says Send Voicemail. And if you click on it, if you have a microphone connected to your computer or even built into your computer, it will find that one and you'll be able to record voice feedback right there on the screen. No need to, you know, send it via email or it's just whenever your computer can record, it will record. And so we'd love to hear from you. So just let us know. Let us hear from you. Let's hear your theories and we'll play them on the show if you send them to us. Make sure that you tell the voicemail that you're reacting to Secrets of Once Upon a Time, because we have many, many podcasts over at sqpn.com. All right, let's move over to our spoiler section now.
I wish, but nothing changes. I wish I was better at wishing.
I wish I knew what's going to happen next. And the only thing we know, or at least that I know, is what's been shown at the end of the episode in the preview for next week. And I think I've queued it up here, so I hope we can listen to it right
now. Desperate Housewives is coming up next.
That's not
next. All new next Sunday. who's afraid of a big bad wolf?
Hide your children.
Everyone except her.
She's Little Red Riding Hood.
With the little basket.
But even the bravest soul.
Let's kill the wolf. We'd be heroes.
Is no match.
Oh my God, how big is this thing?
For the unimaginable.
What kind of monster is this?
ABC's Once Upon a Time. All new next Sunday at 8, 7 Central.
Okay, reactions. Is this cool or is this cool?
Oh, I can't wait to talk about Red Riding Hood.
Awesome.
The next this episode is going to be called Red-Handed, and it is Red's backstory. So, I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think this is going to be a very, you know, kind of high profile, tense episode. I mean, it looks like this is going to be almost like a horror episode, you know, with the wolf killing everyone. And then I love the fact that Little Red Riding Hood is not afraid of the wolf. And the one scene that I was like almost cheering when I saw it was that Granny is there with this big, you know, bow and arrow, and she's like charging it. I just love that. So we're going to see a whole different side of Granny in this episode, I think.
Oh,
we're probably
going to
see a little bit more of Snow White fighting.
Yes, Snow White is teaming up with Little Red Riding Hood. And I don't know about the chronology when this is actually taking place, but...
I think that, I mean, this is... I'm just ballparking this, but this would be before Snow White went to the castle to go visit the prince, because back in that episode she talked to Red saying that, you know, I helped you out when no one else would. I helped you, just basically saying that I helped you out so much and you're not going to help me with this.
Yeah.
So it's somewhere around there, I think.
It's going to be very, very cool. By the way, I have to correct one thing before we wrap up the show. I said that Aster was Latin for star, but actually it's Greek. I got my ancient languages mixed up. All right, any final remarks, final things you want to say?
Well, just one parting shot. I don't know about all of you guys, but I've been kind of geeking out with all the different guest stars and sci-fi tie-ins we've had.
Really?
Because, well, I mean, the blue fairy was originally, I mean, she showed up in Battlestar Galactica and Jake 2.0. And, of course, Nova was Amy Acker from Dollhouse and...
Of course!
And Angel.
Oh, and my gosh. I was like, I know that. And I know her.
And not only was Rumpelstiltskin from Stargate Universe... Geppetto, the guy who played Geppetto, also played the first prime of Apophis for, I forget his name, but he was in Stargate SG-1.
Really?
So it's all over the map. Maybe I've soaked up too much bad TV over the years, but just, yeah, they're everywhere.
That's great. I should make a list of all these appearances. Fantastic. Well, I guess it's just all these actors are, you know, if they're not like the main role, they don't have a main character in a recurring series, they're probably very happy to come on a show like this. And it's a high profile show. So it might be good for her, for their career. And well, just like we see with Belle, you might actually be in for a somewhat longer ride than just one episode. All right, well, let's wrap this thing up. Go to sqpn.com for all our other podcasts, and that's also where you find a link to Deborah's show. Deborah's show is one of the affiliates of SQPN, and her show is iPilgrim. And I do a weekly show called The Break, which is about everything that I'm passionate about, from movies to books to technology and Apple, and also I answer questions about Catholics and their weird things that they do. So go check it out also on SQPN. And together with David, we do a show about Tintin. So it's called Secrets of Tintin. All that can also be found on sqpn.com. Hope you enjoy our shows. Let's hear from you. You can reach us via email as well, onceuponatime@sqpn.com. And again, our blog is onceuponatime.sqpn.com. And on Twitter, we're onceuponatimepc. Talk to you soon. And in the meantime, keep enjoying Once Upon a Time.
SQPN.
leading the way in Catholic new media.